see.
Free your consciousness.
I've got one that can see.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Hello and welcome. This is Free Your Consciousness. I'm your host, Doug Michael. My website, DougMichaelTruth.com. David Michael Thomas, my co-host, joins me today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss the coronavirus panic and look at a lot of different things that have been presented in the media and elsewhere. And, you know, neither one of us are going to pretend to know exactly what's going on, but we want to look at a few different angles of this because it is being hyped massively. A lot of people are panicking. And we want to get into discussing that today. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking your time to join us. Special thanks to the Patreons and the readers and all the people that support the website and take their time to listen with an open mind. We greatly appreciate it. David Michael Thomas, how's it going?
Doing good, Doug. Good to be here. Hello, good people of the internet. Thank you for joining us again.
Welcome. Yeah, this has really been receiving a lot of hype lately, David, this coronavirus thing.
Yeah, I know we've been talking about it a lot since last week. It seems like just since our last podcast, it really started snowballing.
Yes, absolutely right. And I have some articles here that are newer and some from maybe a couple weeks ago. And there's about 9 or 10 that I'd like to discuss just to show the diversity of information that's coming out regarding this. First one, posted February 27th. This is from Russian news agency, TASS.com, again posted February 27th, and the headline reads, first coronavirus cases confirmed in 7 more countries. South Korea has the most coronavirus cases outside of China, and Italy has been the most hit in Europe. And this is February 27th, again, Moscow, the novel coronavirus continues to spread across the world. The first cases of the infection have been confirmed in Algeria, Denmark, Estonia, Georgia, Norway, Pakistan, and Romania. Over 78,400 people have so far been infected in China, where the virus originated. The death toll has reached 2,744, while more than 32,400 patients have recovered. So that's the one headline from this Russian agency, TASS. And again, ladies and gentlemen, on the DougMichaelTruth.com site, you'll find the links, which I believe I forgot to do last week. I forgot to post. You know what it is, David. I posted them on the new site that hasn't gone live yet. So they might not be in the old site. The new site, probably within the next week or two, will be live. And it's a lot nicer. It looks much better. So, yeah, that's one mainstream report. And that was from a couple weeks ago. We're seeing the media. I think it's being a bit hyped up, and if anything, I would be more apt to look at the possibility of it being a bioweapon, a virus released to the public, and, you know, we'll get there. And this next article may lend credence to that theory. This is from Zero Hedge. I know I quote them a lot. It's a very good alternative site, ladies and gentlemen. This is from also February 27th. And the headline reads, scientists discover HIV-like mutation, which makes coronavirus extremely infectious. It reads in part, while mainstream scientists continue to perform mental gymnastics to insist that the new coronavirus wasn't man-made, new research from scientists in China and Europe reveal that the disease happens to have an HIV-like mutation, which allows it to bind with human cells up to 1,000 times stronger than the SARS virus. Wow, that's interesting. Recall that at the end of January, a team of Indian scientists wrote in a now-retracted scandalous paper claiming that the coronavirus may have been genetically engineered to incorporate parts of the HIV genome, writing, this uncanny similarity of novel inserts in the 2019 nCoV spike protein to HIV-1 GP120 and GAG is unlikely to be fortuitous in nature, meaning it was unlikely to have occurred naturally. So that's interesting. You've got some scientists in India that are saying, wait, there's a HIV component to this virus, and that couldn't happen naturally. And back, I believe it was the bird flu, you had, remember I was telling you about this yesterday, I was watching this documentary on Prime with Ian Crane, he's a researcher from Britain, And he was getting a lot into the Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21 and things like this. And during that whole bird flu scare back in 2002 or early 2000s, there were two French microbiologists who in their research concluded that there was no way that that bird flu was natural, that it had to have been manipulated, man-made. And they found these kids tortured and murdered. They were young guys, found them tortured and murdered. And, you know, back in that time when we had that scare, a bunch of microbiologists just went missing, David. It was incredible. All of a sudden, it's like 16 microbiologists from all over the world, top in their field, just go missing or dead. Incredible. And then, like that article just read, the Indian doctors are saying, wait, this is a man-made virus. And then all of a sudden, the story is retracted. And we're seeing a lot, just a lot of fear-mongering in the media.
Isn't that, I think... one of the things that this whole situation is bringing to light is that we can't trust our governments, and how dangerous it is when you can't trust your own governments. When some of the biggest threats to your life or the lives of the people you know or even society can come from the very governments that are there that we are paying to protect us. And here we are in a situation where whatever they say, we can't trust them. If they tell us this wasn't man-made, we cannot trust them to tell us the truth about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, not that you could trust them ever. You know, we haven't had a representative form of government in a long time. And if this is spreading as rapidly as they're saying it is and popping up everywhere, we're woefully unprepared for it. And here's what's been happening as a result of all of this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, this is man-made. Oh, this is fake. Oh, this is hoax. I'm just exploring different ideas and different headlines that have come to light over the last couple of weeks. That's all we're doing here today. You make up your own mind. But there are some very weird coincidences and some fishy things going on with this. But here's what happens as a result of all this panic. This is from RT. February 28th, U.S. stocks continue downward spiral as coronavirus fears shock markets in worst week since 2008 meltdown. Now, that's interesting. You know, David, we still have not fully recovered from the recession in 2008. Remember the housing market crash and all the foreclosure crisis and all that, the banker bailouts. The economy has never fully recovered from that. So you get something like this that's causing it to take a sharp hit, a sharp decline. And, you know, it could be a recipe for an economic collapse. Absolutely, it could be. So this article reads, in part, all three major U.S. stock market indices continued their free fall amid growing panic over the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak, each seeing their worst week since the global financial crisis in 2008. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped more than 350 points after trading closed on Friday, falling by over 1.3%. And capping off a week of dramatic decline, which saw it plummet more than 3,500 points. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 shed nearly 25 points, adding to a precipitous drop of some 300 points throughout the week for a loss of 11.5%, while the NASDAQ ended Friday by less than a point. The index has fallen by 10.5% this week. So that was in 1 week. So the markets are definitely taking a hit. And as we'll come to, many stores like Costco stores and supermarkets in general are running out of certain products because people are hoarding because of this fear.
Have you noticed any of that yourself yet, Doug? And any of your shopping? Have you noticed?
I haven't. I'm actually planning on to do some grocery shopping tomorrow, which I usually do at the beginning of the month. And I'll take note to see. I know I went across the street to this market before and they were very low on tissues and toilet paper, but they might have just been restocking. It's hard to tell. Otherwise, the shelves weren't bare or anything. It looked pretty stocked to me. But this has been going on amidst these fears. And that's something to consider too, David. I mean, I think that this, the powers that should not be... this hidden group we talk about, this consortium, these controllers, they want a constant state of fear and panic, because if you got people in a state of fear and panic, they're much easier to push to and fro, so to speak, to get them to respond in the way you want. And this could be part of creating some kind of mandatory vaccine campaign. We'll have to see how it unfolds, but there's just a lot of panic and hype going on. And ladies and gentlemen, as I think we said in our last talk, David, it's always a good idea to have water and canned goods and toilet paper and medicines and stuff stocked up. To me, that's just practical. Now, I'm not talking, you know, entire rooms, wall to wall, filled with soup and water. I mean, you could do that. What I'm saying is to be a little practical. Most of our industries now get their products from China. Most of these places where we shop, I know it's like this in Europe and very much so here in the States. So if that supply line's disrupted for whatever reason, it's good to have stuff on hand. That's just a practical thing to me. But what I'm advising people against, David, is to don't react in a consciousness of pure fear and panic. That's what they want you to do. Regardless of if this is a real potential to wipe out masses of people or it's hyped or whatever it is, try to keep a calm, level head and don't panic when you see the rest of the people falling into that mode.
That reminds me, I was telling Doug earlier, I got a couple mysterious packages in the mail, and there was two boxes of canned foods, a bag of rice, some granola bars, and soup, and I don't know who they are from. I think they might be from my brother, but I'm not sure yet, but...
Well, that's really cool of him if he did that for you, you know, just thinking about you. And it's always a good idea to have certain items on hand. It's just practical. And, you know, I mentioned also in the last talk, ladies and gentlemen, David and I live in an area of the country that can be pounded with, we could get 5 feet of snow in one storm. It's happened before. In the 20 years that I've lived up here, I've seen massive storms that have the potential to cut the supply lines for a little while. Or the power going down. I mean, to me, it's just practical. But what you see are people that never have anything on hand going into a panic and just emptying the shelves. And this article is from Straits Times, but it's basically quoting the Reuters, not the Associated Press. And the headline is, "Hoarding in the USA, Coronavirus Sparks Consumer Concerns." And this was February 29th. It reads in part, "Austin, Texas, American consumers awoke this week to the coronavirus threat and are beginning to display a symptom of the illness seen in Asia and Europe. Hoarding. Nothing in the United States yet resembles what Italy witnessed in recent days, where supermarket shelves were stripped bare and videos posted on social media showed consumers coming to blows over bags of pasta." See, this is what you shouldn't fall into, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion. That kind of just... And, you know, David, I saw a video of an Aldi grocery store in Germany. It looked like Black Friday here. People were just, the minute they opened the doors, they were stampeding in there to empty the shelves.
I hope it doesn't come to that here, but I guess we have to wait and see.
It looks like it is. And I would prepare a little bit now, but again, ladies and gentlemen, not from a fear-based level of consciousness. Try to stay as calm as you can amidst all this. But the article goes on. "There is unquestionably a growing sense of urgency for people to stock up on staples and to prepare for lengthy home quarantines." See, that's just it. They could say whatever the hell they want. Even if this is a very hyped up kind of event, David, they could just say medical lockdown, medical quarantine. You will not, in China, I've seen some videos of them just locking people in their apartments. Now, if that happens where you go into a quarantine and you don't have certain things on hand, you're going to be in trouble, you know, and that's what concerns me, is that they could just come and say whatever the hell they want. People are completely, their thoughts seem to be shaped by the media and whatever the government's telling them. So they could just turn around and put you in lockdown, or maybe, okay, we've got the vaccine now and it's mandatory that you accept this shot or you won't be allowed in public. I mean, it could come to that. And again, no fear mongering here, ladies and gentlemen, we're just exploring possibilities, that's all.
Reminds me of the plague doctors from medieval Europe that used to go from town to town to quarantine people and to drag away the dead. And the modern day plague doctor, I guess, would have one of those respirators on. But it's getting to be a strange situation, especially since we can't. I like that. Did you coin that phrase, the powers that shouldn't be?
No, I have not. I did not coin that. Somebody Clever did, though. And it's true. You know, human beings were allowing a very, very minute number of people in comparison to the numbers of the rest of us to rule over us. And they do it through ownership of the resources in the banks and everything else, everything that controls your life. The food supply, if you look into some of the Codex Alimentarius stuff and the Agenda 21, it's absolutely unbelievable. They want to control it all. And we've already got massively, you know, genetically modified foods here. And, you know, we really are at the crossroads as a species on this planet. And I think people need to really start to detach a little bit from the bread and circuses and take a look, a very observational, not a panic-stricken look, but an open-minded look at what's going on so that we can begin to contemplate solutions. That's just my opinion.
I did see today, just before the podcast, it may be too early to say something like this, but apparently, as cases are starting to spike in Europe and in the West, apparently the numbers have been leveling off in Asia. So maybe that's a good sign. Maybe that means we've seen the peak of it already in Asia.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to bring this up too. If you go back over the last two decades, right? I think it was after 9/11 when the bird flu scare. Then we had, you know, is H1N1 and the avian bird flu, I don't know if that's the same pandemic, but we had that. Then we had SARS. Then we had Ebola. We had mad cow disease. Every so often, it's like there's this new plague that's going to, you know, wipe out. And people react in the same way. Panic, panic, panic. And I remember with the H1N1, the swine flu, there's another one. The swine flu pandemic, they were pushing to sell this drug called Tamiflu. And that, it's basically what it was a live flu virus that just snort up your nose. And in Japan, it killed a couple people. So, and the pharmaceutical industries were behind a lot of that scare and push. So be very careful, ladies and gentlemen. This one from the Metro, which is a UK newspaper, and this is from February 28th also. A lot of these are from the same day last week, ladies and gentlemen. The headline reads, pandemic simulation killed 65 million months before real outbreak. So they had this simulation of what would happen if just by chance a coronavirus were to break out in Asia. And based on the numbers of this simulation, 65 million people killed. Well, isn't that just a little bit of a coincidence that they had this exercise, you know, 6 weeks before the outbreak? And article reads in part, a shocking 65 million people were killed within 18 months of a pandemic outbreak in a simulation created by public health experts 2 months before the outbreak of coronavirus. You know, what a coincidence. Why would they be having a simulated drill of an outbreak of a coronavirus and then 2 months later, oh, lo and behold, it breaks out? You know, these are the things we need to pay attention to, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know, David, I don't know if you're aware of this. During 9/11 and then during the London tube train bombings of 7/7/2005 and a lot of other events, there always coincidentally seems to be drills occurring at the same time. Just a little aside, but I find this to be highly suspicious. So, okay, they got this training exercise of how the authorities and the medical establishment's going to handle an outbreak of coronavirus 2 months before the actual outbreak comes.
Well, that does make you think, and it also makes me think we're also entering an era now as technology gets more and more miniaturized and more portable. We might be heading for an era where the mad supervillain might become a real thing, where a single person with the right technology could engineer some kind of a virus like this. Mm-hmm. And that might be, I don't know if that'll be the new normal eventually. I don't think, how can you maintain a new normal like that? But once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't get it back in.
Yeah, and like I said, we're at the crossroads, and it's good to pay attention. And here's the thing that concerns me, too. The chip technology now is so small, they have microscopic, basically, microchip technology. Could they insert them en masse into people through a vaccination campaign? And I think absolutely they could. Anyway, this article, which this is worth seeing, ladies and gentlemen. This one really caught my eye when I saw this. And it reads in part, a global panel of experts created the hypothetical pandemic to assess how ready the world is for such an outbreak. They met in October for the Event 201 exercise organized by the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. So far, coronavirus has not been declared a pandemic. And it goes on. The aim was to determine how national governments, public health bodies, and the private sector could work together to respond to a hypothetical pandemic with potentially catastrophic consequences. In the simulation, as well as millions of people worldwide dying of the disease, there were cases in every country in just 6 months. It caused a global financial crisis and ruined the travel and tourism industry. Well, maybe they were just doing this exercise to see what would happen when they released the actual virus, because this is precisely what's happening. We don't have 60 million people dead, but the airlines are grounding their planes. People, certain states around the U.S. are canceling school and any kind of social events. I know where I live, there was a big notice yesterday that I saw in the elevator. All community activities are canceled until further notice. We want to keep everyone safe, kind of thing. And they have community activities here all the time. All the time. So we're seeing this. I know a lot of airlines are grounding. The travel industry has definitely taken a hit. There were cruise ships that were out to sea that were quarantined. Some of them not allowed to port in certain locations to gather supplies, you know, food for the people on board the vessels or medicines or whatever. So we're seeing an absolute panic, you know. And I'd suggest, ladies and gentlemen, detach from the damn news media a little bit. Prepare yourself if you feel inclined. Like I said, it's always a good idea to have certain things on hand, especially in the winter months, and especially if you live in a place like we do in the Northeast where massive snowstorms are common.
Well, so far, I guess maybe to put this in a little bit of perspective, so far, this coronavirus has not killed nearly as many people as the regular flu would kill in the same amount of time. Is that right? Or
oh, yeah. Sure. So again, the hyped up panic. I think heart disease kills a hell of a lot more people. You know what kills the most people is the pharmaceutical industry. Did you know that? That taking scripts according to the way they're prescribed, taking them according to the prescription kills more people in the world than heart disease or car accidents or firearms, or pandemics. That's incredible, isn't it?
Who knew?
So, you know, you watch. What I think they're going to do is, we don't have enough vaccines, cause another panic, and then, oh, we've got enough now. Let people sit in that panic for a little while, and then people will rush to get their jabs, and the pharmaceutical industry will make out like bandits. Just a prediction. We'll see what happens.
And I remember reading an article in USA Today, this was probably about a year ago, and this article said that way more people die in the hospitals from the infections than the hospitals admit. They often list the cause of death as something else, something secondary, mm-hmm. some other symptom, but the cases of infection are extremely high in even Western hospitals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that, I guess, to put that in perspective, and this is the same, these are the people we go to for information at times like this, our medical professionals, to find out what we should and shouldn't do, what's safe, what isn't safe. And here they are, often these same medical professionals prescribe us those drugs that end up killing us or sending us to the hospitals that end up killing us.
Absolutely, and especially here in the States, I mean, the medical establishment is totally in bed with the pharmaceutical industry. And have you noticed over the years, it's take these pills for everything. Oh, my arm, or take these pills. Stomach, take these pills, take these pills, take these pills. They never talk to you about maybe changing your diet or preventative kind of health care. No, it's always take these pills for everything. And I mean, the pharmaceutical industry, we're talking about a multi-trillion dollar industry. So, you know, could they be behind this scare? Maybe. It's quite possible. And this, ladies and gentlemen, this next article, ABC picked up on this. This is actually from January 31st. And the headline reads, 3 months before the coronavirus outbreak, researchers simulated a global pandemic. In part, it reads, it began in healthy-looking pigs, a new coronavirus spreading insidiously within herds. Farmers were the first to fall victim, succumbing to respiratory illnesses ranging from mild flu-like symptoms to severe pneumonia. Flights were canceled as the world's sharpest minds searched in vain for a vaccine, but it was too late. Within 6 months, the virus had spread around the globe. A year later, 65 million people were dead. Unlike the most recent coronavirus outbreak, however, you probably haven't heard of this pandemic. That's because it was all a simulation, developed some 3 months before Wuhan, China, became the epicenter of a global crisis. Again, that just strikes me as highly suspicious.
And I think you were telling me, Doug, that Wuhan is the location of a biological warfare center?
There's a biolab there, yep, right down the street from the wet market where they say this outbreak occurred. Which I don't believe it at all. Maybe it was deliberately released, maybe it was accidentally released, but we're dealing with this globalist group. Because people would say, well, why would they release it on their own population? Because we're dealing with the behind-the-scenes organization that has no national loyalty or boundaries, you know? And they might be just making their moves to collapse the economy, disrupt the supply chains, cause panic, promote a vaccine. It could be a number of things.
These are people who themselves might have a vaccine to this. Or you also mentioned the possibility of an accidental release. And you might think, well, of course, they would be more careful with something like that. But just look up the number of times the United States has lost nuclear weapons. They've accidentally dropped nuclear bombs on the United States. Luckily, they weren't armed at the time. And I heard that in one case, it came very, very close to detonating somewhere over, I think it was South Carolina, North Carolina, somewhere down in there.
Wow, I never heard of that.
And these weapons, some of them are still missing. They're still out there somewhere.
Wow. Interesting times we live in. Okay, this next one is from also Zero Hedge from March 1st. Headline reads, does the coronavirus make the case for world government? Reads in part, sometimes terrible things happen without any human maleficence, and the novel Wuhan coronavirus may in fact be one of those things. It is entirely plausible the virus emerged from wet markets in the Hubei province of China rather than as a fumbled or worse intentionally released bioweapon cooked up by the Xi Jinping government. We may never know, of course, but easily or readily apparent answers to the question of how this could have been avoided should be viewed with the skepticism appropriate to any state propaganda. Crises of all kinds, whether economic, political, military, or health, send ideologues scrambling to explain how such events fit neatly into their worldview. In fact, political partisans often attempt to paint any crisis as having occurred in the first place precisely because their policies and preferences have not been adopted. Good point there. So something like this can be used as an excuse for these globalists to take the next step towards, you know, the consolidation of power that they want.
Never let a crisis go to waste. I don't know who said that. Do you know who said that?
One of the neocons, yeah. I forget, was it Rumsfeld? One of them. You're right. I remember hearing one of them say that. And of course they're going to take advantage of this, whether it's real, manufactured, or mostly hoax. Who's going to benefit from something like this? The complete panic that's gripping the world. It's going to be the people behind the scenes that want more control, that want more decision-making power to be pulled into the hands of their organization, I think.
Just like after September 11th, we still have the Patriot Act is still in place. We still have those inspectors at all the airports. They're still in place, even though it's been showed that they haven't stopped one single terrorist incident. They haven't caught one single terrorist. And they've even failed in a lot of tests where the FBI sends people to try to get through with fake dynamite or fake weapons. And I think they fail to catch them like 90% of the time. So what are we to make of that?
You know, that's a good point, because that's what happens. You'll have an event or a scare or something, and they'll roll out this legislation. And then when the event clears, things return to normal. They don't ever retract. Yeah, you're right. NDAA is still in place. We still have got TSA who've caught zero terrorists harassing travelers. So that's how they do it. They take this kind of incremental step-by-step approach. They'll pass their legislation on the heels of something like this, some panic, and then when the panic clears, when the crisis clears, they don't retract. So that's one way they do it, but little by little, incrementally kind of push their agenda through.
And they never, that's right. They never, ever retract one of these agencies, or they never, ever undo these policies once they believe the threat is over. We're about to apparently sign a peace treaty with the Taliban. I didn't know you could sign a peace treaty with a terrorist organization. I'm not even sure what the Taliban is technically, but we're apparently going to sign a peace treaty, finally ending the 18-long war in Afghanistan, the longest in our nation's history. Did you know that there's fathers fighting alongside their sons there now?
I'm certainly not surprised to hear it. And, you know, here's the thing, not to digress too much from the topic, but I'm glad you brought that up too, because a lot of Americans don't realize the Taliban was funded by the American and British governments, the Mujahideen. That's a creation of this government. Back in the 80s, Iran and Iraq were locked into a bitter stalemate. At that time, the American and British governments were funding Hussein. They wanted to turn the tide of that war into their favor. They supplied Hussein with chemical weapons and financing and satellite data and all kinds of stuff, bioweapons, you name it. At the same time, this government was funding the Taliban to fight against the Soviets who were trying to occupy Afghanistan. One of the main players in that was a guy called Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Obama's chief advisor and also chief advisor to Jimmy Carter back during his presidency. This guy met with Bin Laden. Bin Laden's a CIA man. They funded this organization. So they became our enemies after 9/11, but then when they were destroying Libya, oh, look, the Taliban's our friends here. It's all just a shit show. It is all just such a game. And that's what this country and British government does, is we'll prop up dictators, and when they outlive their usefulness, it's an excuse. We'll make an excuse to go and take them over at a later time to go, you know, start a war. It happens again and again. And, you know, again, I choose my battles with who I speak to about this, because people with no knowledge of history, and I got a lot of this information right from the National Archives, so they'll tell you. But because people are so locked within a particular way of thinking, you mention this to them, they want to bite your head off, call you a traitor or whatever, because they're not familiar. Did they ever do the homework? No. But again, another topic. I didn't know if you knew that. The Taliban and the Mujahideen were funded by the American government mostly, and also the British government. And the Soviets, as they were leaving, said, okay, you know, you guys got bigger problems now with all these radical Muslim groups you've been funding. Incredible. But, you know, again, the information's out there. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing hidden in this age. We are in the post-apocalyptic age. The veil has pulled away. It's right there. But I think what it is, David, is a lot of people are so distracted, don't really have any interest in history, and they've got their minds made up. But what I'm seeing, again, with this whole coronavirus thing, are people completely locked into what the media is telling them? Their perceptions are molded by what they're seeing on media or Facebook or wherever, TV. Okay, this is just from the other day, March 3rd. SHTFplan.com. And the headline reads, FEMA is preparing for coronavirus emergency declaration. In part, it reads, as Americans scramble to prepare themselves for the possibility that the coronavirus outbreak becomes a pandemic, FEMA, that's Federal Emergency Management Agency, is also preparing. FEMA is aware of the gravity of the situation and ready to assist in a coronavirus response. FEMA officials are preparing for an infectious disease emergency declaration by the president that would allow the agency to provide disaster relief funding to state and local governments, as well as federal assistance to support the coronavirus response, according to agency planning documents reviewed by NBC News. So FEMA's now allegedly preparing for a pandemic-level style outbreak.
Had there been people talking about the possibility of, I don't know how true these stories were, but you might have heard some of the stories over the past 10 years or so about FEMA was apparently constructing camps in the South and in rural areas for some sort of a pandemic or some sort of a either manufactured or real crisis like this. And now we've got it's going to happen.
Yeah, FEMA's got camps all over the place. And what if they declared this medical lockdown, and then rolled out the vaccine and said, if you don't have your vaccine, we're going to round you up and stick you in one of these camps and force you to take it. And that's a very possible scenario too.
What would you do? Do you think you would take a vaccine in that situation, Doug? Or
no, they're not putting that in my body. Nope, I head for the hills. No, because what's in it? What's in the shots? Hell, in my opinion, the vaccines they give these days, you don't want to take any of them. And when we talk about nanotechnology, absolutely, you could shrink microchips down to the size that are almost microscopic or microscopic and insert it through a vaccine. It might have already happened.
Even if they mean well, you still can't trust what they're doing. If there's one thing that government does not understand is the rule of unintended consequences. It's the same government that told us for I don't know how many years that Agent Orange did not cause cancer. The same government that said that Gulf War syndrome wasn't real. And we're supposed to trust them now. And they're surprised that we don't trust them. I mean, they should. They've got their own credibility problem. Isn't it interesting how the regular citizen, you get audited or something like that, it's incumbent on you to prove that you've been paying your taxes lawfully, but the government itself doesn't feel any need to be credible. They can tell a lie, and then a few months later, everyone forgets that lie was ever told.
Yeah, good point. Americans have a very, well, Europeans too. But people in the West in general, especially here, have very, very short memories, you know. So, and you know, we live in a time where we are bombarded with information, just bombarded with it. So I think that causes people's minds to close down. And, you know, it's like one news item here, snippet, snippet, snippet. It's the presenter talking about this looped film, and they're telling you what to believe. You're seeing, and it really is psychological control.
And Doug, you pointed out to me, I didn't realize this until you pointed it out to me, is the strange way that this is spread. It started in China, but it also seemed to be bubbling up in Iran at the same time, of all places, and Australia. Right. Now, I guess maybe I could understand Australia with international flights, but how much travel is there to and from Iran? I don't know. Maybe they do a lot of, maybe Iran and China do a lot of business. I don't know. But I always thought Iran was a pretty closed off society. And for them to have this, for them to have this pandemic spreading as fast as it has. And one of their, one of their senior advisors, the Ayatollah himself, actually came down, tested positive for this.
Yeah. I think a few Iranian officials have died, which, you know, again, opens up the question, could it be a bioweapon? You know, the consortium has their eyes set on that country, and they have for a long time. It's possible, and they do a lot of business together. A lot of the world's supply of goods does come from China. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, we're not saying we know exactly what's going on, but there's a lot of things here to look at, a lot of possibilities to consider. When I heard the whole simulation thing that happened 3 months before, that really raised a red flag for me. So, I mean, it's nothing to this consortium to release a man-made bioweapon. They wouldn't think anything of it. It could be that. And again, here's another article with the same theme I mentioned a little earlier. This is from South China Morning Post. Coronavirus far more likely than SARS to bond to human cells due to HIV-like mutation, scientists say. Now that's incredible. Imagine an airborne HIV-type virus that you can catch in a similar way that you catch the flu. So these elites, David, you mentioned the Georgia Guidestones to me on the phone last night. It's in stone. It's in, I don't know, 15 different languages, and one of the tenets on there, and they appeared mysteriously, I believe it was 1980 or 81, out of nowhere. No one knows who put them up. And on the guidestones, it says maintain Earth's population to 500 million. Well, we've got like 7.5 billion now. But a lot of these elites, eugenicists and big bankers, you could look at their memoirs, many of them, and a lot of them speak about population reduction.
Reduce the population to 500 million. Do you think you and I made the cut? Maybe we should take a field trip down there and do a live broadcast from the Guidestones and read the names, everyone who made the cut. But is that in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta? Do you know where they are exactly?
Not really sure what city, but they're down there somewhere. It's just I'll find out. I'll stick a link under the audio player on the site, ladies and gentlemen. Something worth considering. And, you know, in that situation, David, what kind of world would be left over? I don't know if I'd want to live in that world. It would probably be complete slavery, complete lockdown. And these people are sick. We were dealing with a level of psychopathy that most decent people can't even imagine. It's difficult to put your mindset into that of a psycho because we just don't think the same. These people are dark. They think nothing. They look at humanity like chattel, like their property, the way that people would look at cows or pigs in a farm. Theirs to do with what they please. They'd think nothing of culling back the population. And again, if you read a lot of these elites' memoirs, people like the Rockefellers and some of these eugenicists and scientists, and even Gates, I think, might have made a statement of, you know, population reduction would be good for the Earth. You know, so some of these people really do think that way, and they're connected to organizations that have the power to be able to do that.
Oh, by the way, this might be a little bit of good news in all this. It turns out that according to their official news agency, North Korea does not have one single case of this disease in their country. Not one single coronavirus in North Korea.
Isn't that interesting? It borders on China, yet they're popping up in Australia and the Western U.S. Well, now New York reported 20 cases, so it's up in our area too. They're popping up all over, but not in a country that borders where the outbreak started. That's odd, isn't it?
I did not know that. There's 20 cases in New York State or New York City?
Down in New Rochelle reported a couple.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I think I might have seen that.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is popping up all over the world. If, you know, if the media is to be believed, which, you know, again, I see a lot of hype and I see a lot of panic. I do recommend preparing yourself, but not hoarding, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, being practical about it, because again, they could just say whatever they want, even if this is mostly hoax, right? They could just say it's not, 40,000 people died in such and such a place and put you into a quarantine situation. And again, if that happens and you don't have any groceries and water and toilet paper and medicine, you know, you'll be kind of screwed. And I don't want to see that happen to anyone.
When I was in the Army back in the 80s and early 90s, one of the things they trained us for, they called it NBC training, NBC standing for nuclear, biological, chemical. And of all the types of warfare, I always thought that would be the scariest. Where they taught us to put on a whole mask, they call it a MOP suit, military, I think that stands for military operational protective posture, and those things are claustrophobic. They're like, it's like putting on a space suit. And I always thought that was the most insidious type of warfare that there was, but it could also be the most effective. If you're the one who's releasing the biological weapons.
Absolutely. You wouldn't have to drop a bomb or fire a bullet. And you could wipe out masses of people. And, you know, I believe that we're getting to the point where this consortium wants to realize its agenda, which is a global totalitarian superstate. And in many times they'll tell you, if you look at some of the memoirs of these elites going back to the beginning of the 20th century, and they've come right out and tell you. And nowadays, again, since that veil has lifted, nothing is hidden. They used to be very cryptic about it, to communicate through symbolism. It's like this weird kind of law that they have to tell you what they're doing. Well, nowadays, they'll come right out. They will come right flat out and tell you, and in their minds, they've won because people don't pay attention. So Might be a time to wake up, ladies and gentlemen. And that certainly doesn't apply to our regular listeners who already know all this. And they know what we're doing is we're trying to reach those people that are, you know, on the fence about things and might not have all the pieces of the puzzle put together, so to speak.
And isn't it strange that we have this, they're not calling it a pandemic yet, even though it is a pandemic all but in name, even though globalism has caused this, globalism has spread this, and people are calling for a global government to fight for it, increase globalization. Isn't it strange how that's what people want to see happen? Oh, before I forget, maybe it would be good time to mention, we'd be interested to hear in the comments from people of how things look in their corner of the world, how the people they're living with are reacting to this and what the general feel is, or if they know anyone who has this coronavirus. That'd be interesting to hear their thoughts.
That's a great idea, David. Ladies and gentlemen, please, if you would take the time, let us know in the comments, how is the media in your corner of the world responding? How is the public around you responding? Do you notice anything that we didn't get to that you think might be pertinent? And please share with us if you would. We'd always love hearing from you, and we'll always respond as well. So yeah, and I got to show you the stats again on the Podbean site, David. People from all over the world are downloading and listening to the audios, and we really appreciate that. So if you would, leave a comment from wherever you're at and let us know what you're witnessing. How are people reacting in your corner of the madhouse? So a lot of things to pay attention to, ladies and gentlemen, but what I suggest is do not succumb to the fear. You know, the panic buying and the fighting over bags of rice or something, and stripping the shelves bare. Again, the supply line could be disrupted since most of our shit comes from China anyway. But, you know, take precaution in a pragmatic, level-headed way. That's my best advice. Don't fall into the fear and, you know, we're all gonna die, we're doomed. That's not gonna help anything or anyone. My best advice would be to prepare for what might happen. It's always good to have some, you know, stuff on hand, like water and toilet paper and food, canned goods. It's always just a good idea to have a little extra of that stuff. So maybe stock up a little, but not from a consciousness of fear. That's where they want you. They want you to be in a consciousness of pure panic so that you could be easily regimented. And again, our regular listeners have no problem with this at all, David. They already know what I'm talking about. But for someone who might be new to this, just discovered the site, or David and I, please bear that in mind. You know, take precautions if you feel the need to do so, but in a pragmatic level of consciousness, not one of fear and panic.
Doug, have you seen anyone out in public yet wearing a mask?
A few people here and there. I went to the doctor last week and there were some people wearing the masks. I haven't really witnessed personally too much panic yet, but we plan on going to the grocery tomorrow. We'll see. I want to take note of if the shelves are empty and if there's anybody out there in masks. But no, really, only at the doctor's office. But it is flu season anyway, so that might just be normal precautions that they take. I haven't really seen anybody in that panic mode in this immediate area yet.
I have seen pictures of different tourist locations around the world, and the Vatican, and how sparsely populated they are. There's normally big crowds at these places, and now there's hardly anyone at all at some of these locations.
Yeah, the panic is spreading. I remember reading an article a couple weeks ago that said, Pope tests positive for coronavirus, and then now he's not. Now he's negative. So the media can never get their shit straight anyway. So it's hard to really, I would say, pay attention to what they're telling you, but always keep that kind of skeptical mind to it. Like, again, ladies and gentlemen, falling into fear and panic is the worst thing that we could do.
And then there's those cases. Have you heard about these cases where people apparently test negative for the coronavirus? They're let out of quarantine and then they later test positive. Or even, I think there have been some cases where people had the coronavirus, they thought they'd gotten over it, and then later they test positive for it. Either there was a missed testing, or else they're getting another strain of it. I don't know what's going on, but that would be a really insidious twist to this whole thing if you could get it twice.
Yeah, I have read some reports like that too. Absolutely. I don't know, maybe some extra high doses of vitamin D3 and vitamin C might help. I don't know. If this is some kind of man-made airborne HIV-like illness, who the hell knows? But just wanted to touch on a few points, ladies and gentlemen, and encourage all of you to not respond with a mentality of panic and fear. That's the worst thing in any given situation that you could do.
Well, I think I wonder about some of the long-term effects of this. I think handshaking might become a thing of the past, and I think in the future people talk about that as an old custom that people used to do, and in the future, I know handshaking seemed to be starting to go the way of the dinosaur. People weren't shaking hands as much as they used to, but I think as of this situation, I think the handshake will become a thing of the past, but I hope that the coronavirus is the event of 2020 and not the event of this decade, if you know what I mean. I hope that by the end of the year, we're talking about the year in review, or we'll talk about, remember that coronavirus scare, everyone, just like we talk about the Y2K situation, even though this has obviously killed more people than, I don't think Y2K killed anyone, but I hope that this whole situation just goes the way of some of those other crises.
Yeah, and then maybe next year we could look back and say, oh, remember SARS, bird flu, swine flu, Ebola, all these scares that took place over the last 20 years, and maybe this could be relegated to that category as well, and I hope so. I really hope this isn't some kind of man-made pandemic or bioweapon that's been released, but you know, the markets are really taking a hit. And just because of that, ladies and gentlemen, a little preparation might not be a bad idea. Because again, I'll reiterate this point too. They could say whatever the hell they want to put people into a panic mode and cause all kinds of chaos. And it might be really good to pay attention. And again, keep an observational, open, but yet skeptical mind, and not one completely consumed by fear. And I think we'll be all right.
Well, when it comes to official warnings, I always think of the people that were in the World Trade Center on September 11th. After the first airliner hit the one tower, people in the other tower were starting to evacuate, and they were told over the loudspeakers that there was no need to evacuate. So sometimes the powers that be are not going to be giving you the best possible advice in an emergency.
Yeah, that's true. And what happens during any kind of big scare like that event or like this, people look to Big Daddy Government, save me, save me, save me. And then you play right into their hands. You know, when your mind is crippled with panic and fear, you're way more suggestible and way more controllable. So I'd say take a level-headed approach to all this. We are being bombarded night and day, 24/7 in the media with all different kinds of scenarios or all different kinds of things they're saying. And we got to really be cautious how we approach this. But again, since the markets are taking a hit, since the supply line mostly comes from China, not a bad idea to have a few things on hand.
And we don't know yet how long this disease stays on surfaces, do we? I think I've heard different numbers, like up to 10 days. I think that's one of the most extreme that I've heard. So some people were speculating that products that are from China might themselves have the coronavirus on them. And there's a smoke shop across the street from where I live. And apparently some of the vape pens that come from China, they were selling at a much lower price because people didn't want to buy them because they were from China. If I understood what the clerk told me, what the guy working at the register that day was telling me.
That's not surprising to hear at all. Yeah. Wow. So ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for taking your time. Short one today. We just wanted to touch on a few points. Any closing thoughts that you... Actually, I do have something before we go. You mentioned 9/11, and it kind of jarred my memory. Remember when we did the false flag about when after the Iran tankers were attacked?
Yes.
And I spoke about this document called... Well, it's a think tank group called Project for the New American Century, and the document that they authored a year before 9/11, where they mentioned these countries that they were going to take out. Remember the Wesley Clark clip that we played where he said, oh, we're taking out 7 countries in 5 years. Iran, North Korea, Iraq, all these countries were listed. In that document, it also says that they could develop bioweapons that could target specific genome types in the same document that was drafted by these, I think it was 27 different neocons, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, all these neocons put this document together a year before 9/11. And that event changed everything. It definitely was a major step forward for these globalists to create their totalitarian super state. But that's in that document too.
Only thing I would add, Doug, is to remind people we'd like to hear what's going on in your neck of the woods. How are your friends and family reacting to this? Do you know anyone who has the coronavirus? Just to get people's thoughts on this whole situation, gets a different, I think, more than almost any issue we've covered so far. I think it would be invaluable to hear from folks from around the world and get some of their feedback. And maybe we could talk about that a little bit next week.
Yeah, great idea. And please, ladies and gentlemen, if you feel so inclined and have the time, we would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for taking your time to listen with an open mind. David and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much to the Patreons, to the readers, and to the people that comment and support and listen. We really do greatly appreciate it. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, this is Doug Michael. Walk in peace.